All right, just real quickly, one thing we didn't mention. Velocity just got a MySpace. So if you guys are on MySpace, come and be our friend. It's myspace.com/velocityabq, all right? So that's that. And speaking of the internet, how many of you guys ever get those emails where it's been forwarded to like 40,000 people before you, you know? Okay, and you have to scroll down like 17 pages to finally get to the real message. Well, those ones, I don't know about you guys, but I normally just delete those because I don't really care to read them. But I actually read one this week that was pretty funny. And I guess it's possible that I was like the last one on the world's email list and I'm the last one ever reading it. And maybe all you guys already have read it. I don't know. But if you have read this, don't ruin it for those who haven't, all right? This is a quiz called the Are You Smart quiz, okay? Four simple questions, and if you think you know the answer to the question, again, if you haven't heard them yet, if you think you know the answer to the question, raise your hand, and we'll see how well you do on the Are You Smart quiz, all right? Number one, how do you put a giraffe into a refrigerator? Good job. Correct answer. Open the refrigerator, put in the giraffe, and close the door. Good job. This question tests whether you tend to do simple things in an overly complicated way. But obviously you don't. That's good. Number two, how do you put an elephant into a refrigerator?
Open the door, take out the giraffe, put in the elephant.
You guys are smart. Okay. So correct answer, open the refrigerator, take out the giraffe, put in the elephant, and close the door. Good job. This tests your ability to think through the repercussions of your previous actions. Number three, yes, what's the answer?
Take out the elephant.
No. I haven't asked the question yet. Number three, the Lion King is hosting an animal conference. All the animals attend except one. Which animal does not attend? The elephant. Exactly, because where's the elephant? In the refrigerator. Good job. The elephant is in the refrigerator. You just put him in there. This tests your memory. Okay, number four. There's a river you must cross, but it is used by crocodiles, and you do not have a boat. How can you manage it?
Step on the crocodiles,
okay? Not quite. The correct answer is you jump into the river and swim across. Have you not been listening? All the crocodiles are attending the animal conference. They're at the animal conference. This tests whether you learn quickly from your mistakes. Well, let me tell you, you are officially the smartest service. Give yourselves a hand. Good job. You guys just received a 75%, which is a C. And last service got an F because they only got 50%, two of the questions. Saturday night service, they're just kind of in their own category. They didn't get any of them. So they're obviously not very smart. That's all right. That's all right. So now you're like 75% this service. You're just dumb on Saturdays. That's what it is. Yeah, okay. That's okay. So the Are You Smart quiz just goes to show that sometimes some really smart people don't always have the correct answers. Now, you guys had three of the four correct answers, but not all of them. And sometimes, even if you are pretty smart, you don't always make the right decisions. Same with Jacob, where we find ourselves today in Genesis 35. If you haven't turned there in your Bibles, go ahead and do so. But Jacob, you know, it's been a long journey so far for Jacob. He's come upon a lot of obstacles along the way, a lot of things that he's been facing. And a lot like that quiz that we just had that asked four questions, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to ask four important questions as well. These questions aren't going to determine if you're smart, though. They're going to determine if you're on track with the Lord, if you're where you should be with God. In fact, I believe that these four questions over the next 2 weeks are four of the most important questions you'll ever answer because they will help you determine where you're at with God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some pretty important questions out there. Of course, last week we asked the question, Pepsi or Coke? And we learned that Pepsi beat out Coke. What color socks should I wear in the morning? That's an important thing to consider. What clothes should I wear? Should I get a haircut like a mullet or a mohawk? Should I eat at McDonald's or should I live 30 years longer? You know, there's lots of different questions that you may come across. And those are important, don't get me wrong. But these four questions that we're going to be considering over the next 2 weeks are some of the most important because they will help you figure out where you are going to spend eternity. And so you can imagine how important they are because they don't just deal with your life here on earth, they deal with your life in eternity. And if you've been following Jesus and it doesn't show it, your life isn't really lived out, maybe you've made that commitment to follow Jesus, but you're not really living like it, today is your day to get back on track. In fact, that's how we're going to end the service. Chris is going to come back up at the end, and we're going to close in a time of worship. Leaders will be available to pray with you, and that's your opportunity to get on track with where you should be with God and to really commit your lives again, maybe, to the Lord, okay? So we're only going to cover 5 verses today in Genesis 35, the first 5 verses. So follow along with me. Genesis 35, starting in verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Okay, question number 1 on the back of your bulletin. Are you listening to God's plan? Are you listening to God's plan? How many of you guys have ever felt like you have spiritual ADD? You get distracted really easily in your time with the Lord. Yeah? Okay, I come across that all the time. Like you're spending time in prayer. God, thank you for a new day. Don't I have math homework today? You know? It just happens, right? Your thoughts just immediately go to something else. And you're praying and you're thinking about how great God is. And you're like, man, Frosted Flakes sound really good right now. You know, and you just find yourself kind of drifting off immediately. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes in our lives, it's easy to get distracted from listening to God's plan. My daughter, Emery, gets distracted pretty easily. She loves to crawl. Anytime she can get down and crawl, she loves to crawl. So she'll be down the hall and I'll say, "Emery, come here." And so she'll get all excited, do like the turbo fast crawl, you know, crawling down the floor. But she gets distracted really easily. So she'll make it halfway down the hall until something catches her eye. It's usually like the doorstop halfway down the hall. She loves the doorstop, okay? And she loves to just, you know how it's like the little spring? And she loves to just hit it. And it makes a little noise and she loves it. I'm like, okay, Emery, I'm a little bit cooler than a doorstop, so keep it coming, you know? So she's like, oh yeah, okay. So she goes back to scooting. And then something else will catch her eye. It's like a bug maybe crawling on the floor. She'll try to grab it and eat it, you know, or something like that. She actually killed a spider the other day because she was hitting it. And so, you know, it's something that we missed with a vacuum or something like that. And all of a sudden, all of her attention is directed to whatever that thing is. And she's trying to pick it up and put it in her mouth. And then, you know, I finally get her attention back to me. And she keeps crawling, and then she sees the trash can, and she wants to stand up and like go through the trash can and eat stuff out of there. Babies just want to eat anything all the time. They don't care what it is, you know? But it's very easy for her to get distracted. Here I am, her father, telling her where to go, but her eyes so easily get diverted from me. That's a lot of the way that we are with God. God, our Heavenly Father, is saying, "Focus on me, come to me." But we so easily get distracted with other things. Jacob and his family have become distracted. And it was a distraction for them just living near Shechem, this evil, immoral city. This was a dangerous thing for them to do. And off and on throughout his journey, Jacob has had some things that have distracted him from God's plan. But now, I love, God makes it so clear and so evident what Jacob is supposed to do. He gives him very clear direction. And God's plan for Jacob's life is very similar for ours. God basically gives him 2 important steps for him to take. And I believe those are 2 important steps for us to take as well, okay? The first one that you can write down is follow me. He says in verse 1 to Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there. So he gives them a clear direction. Follow me. Go where I tell you to go. Now, we're going to have a little quiz here. What is what's something significant that happened in the city of Bethel? Do you guys remember? What's something that happened? He had a dream, exactly. Do you guys remember what the dream was about? Anybody remember? Right, there was a ladder and there were angels descending and ascending on the ladder, okay? Who was at the top of the ladder? Do you guys remember? Somebody I haven't heard from? Yeah. God. And do you guys remember some of the promises that God gave to Jacob? Good. You got it, you got it. There you go, you got it. So he promised him the land that he was sleeping on. You will live here. He promised him a bunch of descendants, lots of big family. And then probably my favorite part of the promise is, I'm going to be with you until that promise is fulfilled. So God made all these promises. This is a very important place, Bethel, for Jacob. God had appeared to him. He was encouraged. He was strengthened. This was a highlight in Jacob's life going to this city. Now, here's another question. What does the word Bethel mean? Do you guys remember what that means besides these two? Anybody else remember what Bethel means? House of God. House of God, okay? It means house of God. So Jacob here, God tells him, get up, arise, and go to the house of God. He says, follow me. Go where I tell you to go. I think Jacob was in need of a fresh experience with God. His walk with God had kind of gotten stale. And for whatever reason, it seems like he has kind of dodged this city of Bethel. Because you remember, for about 10 years, he lived outside of the city of Shechem. And he was there, and Shechem and Bethel are only about 15 miles apart. It would have been not even a full day's journey for him to get to this city where God had done this amazing thing in his life. And you would have think he would have wanted to go there. But we never read that he did in his whole stay outside of the city of Shechem. Why is that, I wonder? I wonder if maybe he felt a little guilty. Have you guys ever felt guilty? I have, where you feel so guilty that you kind of try to dodge God a little bit, you know? You kind of postpone, you kind of put off your time with the Lord because you feel so guilty about something you've done. I've done that before, but let me tell you this. Not following God because you feel guilty for not following God doesn't fix any problems, okay? Just because you feel guilty doesn't mean you should dodge God. God sees it anyways. And maybe that's the reason Jacob didn't go, maybe not. But God has told him now, follow me, arise, go to the house of God. And I think Jesus has a similar command for us. In fact, Jesus' own words, John 12:26, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Have you guys ever tried to follow someone's footsteps that they made in the snow? You guys ever done that? Big old footsteps. I like to do that because I have really long strides, you know, and I like to watch people try to step as far as I can step because, you know, here I am just kind of walking and they're all, okay, one, two, and they try to like jump to my next footprint, you know, but when it comes to Jesus, he has all these spiritual footsteps. He's gone places. He's done things that we should do, places we should go. And we should follow in his steps. And he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Very similar to what he's just told Jacob. Follow me. Get up. Go to the house of God. And so God tells him exactly where he wants him to go, expecting him to obey and to follow. God has made it pretty clear where we should go as well. And he expects us to be obedient. But I love that God doesn't just tell Jacob where to go and leave it at that. He also tells him what to do when he gets there. That's the second part of Jacob's command, and second part of God's command for us is worship me. He first said, follow me. Now he says, worship me. He says, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God. Worship, in my opinion, is highly misunderstood and underappreciated. A lot of times we take for granted the fact that we as sinful people, by God's grace, can spend time pouring our hearts out to God in His presence. That's something we so easily take for granted. But it's so important. In fact, think about it this way. Don't answer this out loud, but think about this in your mind. Everybody paying attention. Think about this in your mind. When was the last time you really took some time and you devoted it to just spending time with God? And nobody else and no thing else. When was the last time that you really just dedicated some time to God? Has it been a while or has it been recent? Have you been distracted while you're trying to do that? When was the last time? Was it when you were munching a Pop-Tart on the way out the door to school? Or do you take some time each day to really dedicate some time to the Lord? You know, that's hard in our society. In our culture, we have technology everywhere. And that's such a curse for me because I love technology. And so, you know, I have my phone and I have an iPod and I have computers and I have all these things around me that can so easily distract me. But you know, some of the best times I've had with the Lord are when I get up real early before everybody else. Maybe I even go outside to the park where it's sometimes still dark. And I'm in the park and I'm all by myself and I just have my Bible. That's some of the best time I have with the Lord is time that I dedicate to God. We need that. Every one of us needs that. And so God commands Jacob to get up and to go to Bethel and to worship him there. And one thing I love about God is that you can worship him anywhere you go. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, you can worship God. How many of you guys have ever read that Dr. Seuss book, Green Eggs and Ham? You guys read that? It's a pretty sweet book, right? Well, as I was thinking about this fact that you can worship God anywhere, I got to thinking about the fact that you can eat green eggs and ham everywhere you go, right? And so I looked at the book, and here's how it would be rewarded if it was about God. You can worship him in a tree. You can worship him in a house. You can worship him in a box. You can worship him with a mouse. With a fox on a boat, with a goat in the train, in the rain, you can worship him here or there. You can worship him anywhere. Now, that's pretty cool, right? Now, part of that, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about worshiping God with a mouse or a goat or in the rain because I kind of like to stay dry. But the idea is still there that God is everywhere and anywhere we are, we can worship God. But here's the issue. What is it that's distracting you where you're at from God? And it could be a lot of things because sometimes it takes, although we can worship God anywhere, sometimes it takes a physical movement for us to finally get away from distractions and focus on God. What are those things that are taking you away from God? What are those things that are making it hard to focus? Who are those people that are keeping you? You need to get away. You need to separate yourself and spend some time with the Lord. Maybe it's time to make a physical change. That doesn't necessarily mean moving cities like Jacob did, but getting away from things that are distracting you. Jesus' own words, John 4:23, he says, "But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." So we should worship God, and we should get away from anything that's distracting us from that. In fact, Jesus did that a lot. He would go out overnight sometimes. He would get away from the people and the crowds, and he would go pray by himself. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to do that? So he says, follow me, that's the where. And then he says, worship me, that's the what. Here's where you go, here's what to do when you get there. God would say the same for us. Follow him and worship him with the way that you live. Are you listening to God's plan for your life? That's God's plan. Are you following him? Are you worshiping him? If not, you're not fulfilling God's plan for your life. You're not on the right track. Maybe this morning you need to get back on the right track. So there's the first question. Are you listening to God's plan? The second question is, are you leaving sin in the past? Are you leaving sin in the past? Speaking of leaving things, I heard about a 75-year-old woman who left Comcast. How many of you guys have Comcast at home? Cable or internet or something? Bunch of you, okay? So the 75-year-old woman, she got really angry at the customer service. One day she just snapped. And she got in her car. She drove down to the Comcast office to complain. But this wasn't your normal complaint, okay? Because she armed herself with a hammer when she went down to the office to complain, okay? So you can imagine. I don't know what you guys think of when you think of 75-year-old woman. I just think of a nice lady, gray hair, bacon chocolate chip cookies. You know, that's what I normally think of. But this lady comes in the door, opens the door, and, you know, probably somebody at Comcast said, "Hello, can I help you?" And she's like, "Yes, you can." And she pulls out her hammer and she goes to town, okay? She starts swinging it and she smashes a keyboard. She breaks a monitor. She smashes a phone until finally somebody can get a hold of her and thankfully take the hammer away. So she got angry and she did something about it. Now, the principle behind that is good. She saw something that was wrong and she acted on it. The physical action she took was the wrong way to go about doing it, okay? But the principle behind it is good. And hopefully, over the last 2 weeks, you guys have been able to see how dangerous and destructive and ugly sin can be and is in our lives. Hopefully, over the last couple weeks, as we looked at chapter 34, we read about Dinah being raped. We saw lust. We saw envy. We saw bitterness, anger, murder. All of these things that we saw that reminded us how bad sin is. Hopefully, as you've been able to see those, you've been reminded of how bad it is. And hopefully, armed with that knowledge, you will act on it. Not with a hammer, okay? But act in a godly way and take care of these problems. I love one thing that Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, one thing I am dedicated to. There's a lot of other things that I could do, but one thing I'm going to do, putting the past where it belongs, in the past, and reaching forward to something so much better. That's what God has for me. So are you leaving sin in the past? Let me give you three ways that Jacob tells his family to leave sin in the past, to put it behind us. The first way is put away. Two simple words, put away. Jacob says in verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you." Put them away. Now, when I say the words put away, I'm sure I know what some of you guys are thinking. Oh, my mom's always telling me to put stuff away. I thought I could come to Velocity without hearing the words put away, you know? She's always telling me, put my socks away, put my clothes away, put my sister away, put, you know, whatever, right? And you, maybe you're thinking that, but that's not the kind of put away that I'm talking about here. I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about putting things away that are hindering you, that are slowing you down in your walk with the Lord. Because you may remember right before Jacob and Rachel and the family left Rachel's dad, Laban, you may remember something that Rachel stole. Do you guys remember what those things were that she stole? His idols, his household idols. Do you remember that? And she held on to these things. Now, these weren't good things for her to have. And maybe she wasn't quite ready to let go. Maybe she was unsure of the future. Whatever it was, she stole these things. She wanted something to hold on to. What is it that you are holding on to that you're not ready to give up yet? What is it that you have or that you're doing that you know you probably shouldn't have or do, but man, you just can't imagine life without it? I think that's kind of where Rachel was. She couldn't imagine life without those visual images of God or what she thought was God to help her. She didn't need them, but she couldn't imagine life without them. Who is it that you can't imagine life without that's slowing you down? What is it that you're doing that's hindering you, that you're keeping sin with you instead of putting it in the past? Their family, Jacob's family, had compromised just by living outside of Shechem. They were really close to this evil, immoral city, and they lived there, and that was a dangerous thing for them to do. But I love how Jacob, what he's literally saying, English doesn't quite capture the power of what he's saying here. In the original language, in Hebrew, Jacob tells his family members literally, remove the powers of the foreign one. Okay? So what he's saying is, don't not just give up your idols, but don't let it have power over you anymore. Give it up. Let it go. Put it away. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. Again, Paul writes, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So he says, similar to what he did earlier in Philippians. You remember Philippians, put the past in the past, read forward to the future. Now he says, put off the old man and everything you were doing in your sinful nature and put on Christ. Live for Christ. So put away is the first way. The second way is purify. Jacob says in verse 2, purify yourselves. He says, put away the false idols and then purify yourselves. The life of following Christ is all about purity and purifying ourselves. The challenge comes, though, because we're not really good at being pure. That doesn't come natural. That doesn't come easy for us. Psalm 24 asks an important question. It says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? In other words, who can be in God's presence? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and what? A pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So we need to have pure hearts. We need to be glorifying God, purifying our lives. We use a lot of different things to purify stuff. We use shampoo to purify our hair, some of us anyways. We use soap to purify our hands or our face or something like that. We use a vacuum cleaner to purify our carpet. We use Windex to purify the windows or the mirrors. All of those are great things, but as great as they work on all that stuff, they don't really work in your life. I mean, wouldn't it be great if when you became a Christian, some guy handed you a Bible and like a bottle of God cleanser, you know, that you could just squirt all over you to purify yourself. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be really easy, wouldn't it? You spray it all over yourself. Whew, man, I feel so pure now. Now that I got that God cleanser all over me. Take a bath in God cleanser. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes some work. It takes action in our lives. You'll never do it apart from Christ, though. He's the only way to do it. So put away, purify, and finally, he says, change. The end of verse 2, and change your garments. So here he's talking about just ceremonially changing their clothes, getting ready for something new. But I think we could take it a step further and say it's time for our whole lives to be changed. It's time for us to be different. Let me ask you this. Don't answer this out loud, but think through this in your mind. Do you look different from the world? If people found out at your school that you're a Christian, would they be surprised? I hope not. I mean, if you ever find yourself in a place where you say, oh, that's great, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian too, and they're like, really? That's not good, because your life's not matching up with what it should. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're really a new creation, if you've dedicated your life to Jesus, you need to start acting like it. It's time to live different. It's time to look different from the world. And that takes some practical steps, some things you can do. That's what Jacob's family did. Look at verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. So they removed everything that was causing temptation and buried it under a tree. Isn't that great? They handed over their false idols. They handed over their earrings. Now, let me get this straight. That does not mean that you, if you are a Christian, you can't have piercings, okay? I mean, that'd be kind of a bummer. Like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. Here's my earrings and my nose ring and lip ring and forehead ring and all these other rings, right? And that's not what it's talking about here. But in this culture, these earrings probably had to do something with the idol worship that they had found themselves doing. And so they had kind of compromised in taking these earrings and being pierced. And so they said, fine, I'm done with these things. I'll give you this. I'll give you my idols. I'm done. And then I love what Jacob did. He dug a hole and he buried it in the ground. He said, we're not even going to give these to somebody else. Nobody needs these things. We're done with them. And he buried them, put them away. What's causing temptation for you? It could be anything. It could be your computer at home. It could be your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It could be music. It could be a lot of different things. What is that thing? It's time to get rid of it. Now, it's probably not the best thing, especially if it's your boyfriend or girlfriend, to bury them under a tree, okay? But it's time to get rid of them. It's time to separate yourself. It's time to change. Look different than the world. Take some practical steps to fight off temptation. Don't just hide from temptation. Oh, I hope it doesn't get me. It's going to get you. If you're just hiding like a coward, you need to fight it. Christianity is a fight. It's a battle. It's a war. Thankfully, we're on the winning side. Jesus already won. So we don't have anything to be concerned about or scared of, but we need to hide it. We need to fight it, not just hide from it. It's a battle. I read about a Japanese company that came up with some ideas on how to defend yourself against an attack. They came up with some pretty unconventional methods, though. One is and these are real inventions. One is a skirt for women that unfolds to make you look like a Coke machine so you can hide. Isn't that crazy? Another one is a purse that unfolds to look like a manhole cover on the street. So like if your wallet or something is in there, you just throw it on the street and it looks like it's just a manhole cover on the street. I guess nobody would think to pick that up. I don't know. And then one of my favorites is a backpack that unfolds to make a kid look like a fire hydrant, a Japanese-style fire hydrant. Now, I know that doesn't look like our fire hydrants, but that's how they look out there. But my question about these, especially the Coke machine one, are you really going to have time for that to work if you're being attacked? You know, think about it. Like the guy comes up to you, and these things normally go pretty quickly from what I've heard, you know? And not that I have an experience, I promise. But imagine he's attacking you. He has a gun or a knife or something. He says, give me all your money. And you're like, hold on. Did you see that bird? And he's like, let me check. And he looks for the bird and you're, I'm a Coke machine. And you think that's going to work? Can you imagine? The guy's like, bird, I don't see a bird. Oh, that's weird. Hey, where'd the lady go? This is just a Coke machine. That's, what in the, do you think that's really going to work? I don't think it's really going to work. Okay. I don't know. But that's the steps they thought they needed to take. But here's the challenge. Don't just hide like a coward because we've been given victory. And I don't know if you guys have read the end of the book. I hope you have, but we win. Jesus gave us the victory. The Bible says that God has taken away the sting and the power of death and sin. It can't do anything. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have the victory, and we've lived long enough in the world. Today's your day to get back on track. I'm going to have Chris come up here, close us in a song of worship, and this is your opportunity to spend just a couple moments alone with God. Remember how we were talking about dedicating that time to the Lord? This is that time. Spend that time. Don't talk to other people right now. This is your time. Everybody focus. Spending it with the Lord. Get back on track. Leaders will be available around the room. We want to pray with you. We want to talk to you. Maybe you've made a commitment for Jesus. We want to help you to continue in that and make sure you're on the right track. Maybe you've never made a commitment to Jesus. I can tell you that you're headed to hell if that's the case, but it doesn't have to end that way today. You can know that you're going to heaven by committing your life to Jesus. Leaders are available for that. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer.